Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
The Warren Buffetts of the world. They liquidate positions to buy new positions, or they close out overweight positions, but they don't sell something because the market overall is going down, especially when kind of everything's been on fire. I mean, there's really not been a great place to put your money this year except select names, especially when you're a broad allocator. But what you can say is, wow, look at all this stuff that's, since everything is down, why can't I go shopping right now when things are on sale?
What's going on, guys? Welcome into today's episode of Money Moves. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Breedwell.
What up, y'all?
You ready to talk some stocks, real estate investing, and personal finance?
Every Tuesday at whatever p.m., a.m. o'clock, I always
Today is September 20th, and we're going to be digging into some big stuff going on with rate hikes this week. Papa Powell, the god of the American economy right now, it feels like. Everybody hangs on his waiting word. What's he going to do this week? We got some big news there. We got some reports coming up about the real estate market that might give you a little bit more clarity on where things are going to finish out towards the end of the year. What does 2023 look like? We got Tone in the studio today.
What up, Tone?
We're getting ready to... We're doing some dry runs for you guys on... We want to make this more interactive. So we're going to be doing some live shows here in the next quarter, and we got our new production set up. Mm-hmm. So shout out to having Tone in the studio.
What a view.
If you guys are new to the show, before we dive in, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. If you take 2 minutes to leave us a review, if you enjoy the content, find it valuable. If it helps you in any way on your financial journey, or just hearing Mr. Breedwell go off on his rants and tangents,
no,
it will be worth it to tune in each and every week and have some fun with us around your money journey. If you haven't taken advantage of all the resources that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family, we have our main number, write this down, 844-447-1555. This is the text platform that we already engage with a lot of you through in terms of questions, answers, updates on events, and some of the other resources that our awesome team and community provides for one another. Mr. Breedwell does his free financial x-ray.
100%.
Which entails
if you
all kinds of goodness.
A ton of goodness. You get a phone call with me. I get to do a review of your current finances. A lot of people have been asking questions about lump sums and stuff like that lately. I think we had a listener last week write that in. But if you send the word x-ray to 844-447-1555, me and my team will take a look at your current investments, any insurance policies you currently have set up, what you're doing with your real estate portfolio. We can build you a full financial plan, kind of aggregate all those investments together and really tell you what it looks like in the future. Because it's a lot of people look at a statement just on a month-to-month or a quarterly or yearly basis, and they don't really know what that would translate into long term. And so it helps you build, again, I just say take the investments and turn them into a financial plan.
It
Man, it's one of those things where I think is, at least I'll speak for my own wealth building journey, where I started, which was not a detail guy, which was not a very plan and
he was not a good neighbor
driven guy, to going out and learning along the way just how imperative a plan and execution around fundamentals with the plan is to any business goal, to any financial goal, right? I think that is something that I've really looked at as a massive skill that I had to learn, to really kind of put the intention and purpose behind. Your financial planning tool being one of those things, my personal financial statement, my goals, understanding where all my passive income is coming from. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't like spreadsheets. I didn't like doing a lot of those things.
I still don't like spreadsheets.
But at the same time, there were certain areas of going, if I'm really going to unlock financial freedom, if I really want to be a good steward of my capital, you truly can't trust that other people are going to learn those things or implement those things in the capacity that is best for you. So you have to learn certain skills, but then having complementary alliances, mm-hmm. right?
Those, with people who are obligated to do what is best for you.
Totally. I think, like myself, is what kind of supercharges the confidence you have as an investor going into your financial journey, and then continuing to level up in it along the way. And so that's what I love about the plan, the resources, this podcast, mm-hmm. the listener, you guys, and what kind of conversation we're a part of, because you grow into those things and really find ways to keep evolving your mind around finances, your habits around finances, your investments in finances, all of those things. It's an ongoing conversation that you have to stay involved in.
It's like a living, breathing document, the financial plan, right? Because it changes, it updates, life happens, life event happens. So everything should be that way. There shouldn't really be anything that you set up, and then once you set it up, it's kind of finite. You can't change it. You can't do anything about it. Those things, I mean, we have even like our thing of a mortgage. A mortgage isn't even like that. A mortgage, yeah, you have to pay, but I mean, like, it's not something you can't get out of or can't get help to refinance or redo. Oh, crap, I can't afford my payment. Maybe I can take my current equity and spread it out again over another 30 years or 35 years or what have you. So things should have flexibility built into them, because life is going to happen. You yep. know that.
Yeah.
We were talking about your last, you know, last month.
Last quarter.
Yeah, being crazy. Look at the investments. 2022.
There you go. It shows you how crazy it's been for me. I'm already
back to the future, folks.
I'm like, get me the fuck out of 2022. It's been some of those challenging times business wise for me, which I'm going to be explaining a lot more. I'll be able to share a lot more this next quarter. But it's also been so, you know, the challenges and the turbulence, whether it was the uncertainty and like all the stocks and my investments and everything that's going on there, whether it's uncertainty in a business challenge mm-hmm. or uncertainty and new opportunities and what path you should or shouldn't take, right? All of those things, I think, ultimately force you, if you're willing to put in the work, and we'll just keep it in the vein of your investments, right? Like, stay consistent and intimate with the habits and the actions you know you have to take.
Yep.
With the work that goes into achieving those goals and getting through, getting wiser, getting stronger in that process. And part of this conversation that we're having, what I'm most excited about right now, is we're creating more environments with the Millionaire Mindcast community to participate in proximity in those conversations. Dude,
some of them are more casual.
I'm not
some
of lie. Them are more... I am beyond fucking fired up.
It's going
to
be fun.
I am fired up to go to our Napa event. We've got hand-selected. Well, first off, I got to give you props in the itinerary that you set up.
It's going to be great.
I mean, Napa in itself is one of those towns, those ecosystems that is, I mean, it's world renowned, right? Yeah. Like, they, people from all over the world come to Napa.
Do you realize that we're going on our first event during the peak of harvest as well?
Yeah.
It's like the best time of the year to go.
And we're literally curating world-class experiences with wine, because we vino heads over here. Amen. We like to sip on some grape juice, right?
Give me a
good
straw.
Grape juice. But then when you create this environment where, I mean, we got a private chef, we've got We've got private winery events and experiences.
We have my personal driver.
We've got hot seat events for each individual entrepreneur to share what their challenge and the opportunity is that they're working through in their life or their business. And literally, this was the best and I learned a lot of what some of these great facilitations of experiences are in world-class destinations can create for the human connection, the human breakthrough was GoBundance. They've done it world class. And one of the things was when you get a bunch of smart, really intentional people who are already playing at a high level, working on one person's problem, the amount of time or the amount of money that is worth each person's time, and they're all collectively attacking your goals, your vision, something that you need support with, it is the most priceless consulting session you can get and be a part of, right?
Yep.
And that is what we're going to be doing at these events over and over, and just having a lot of fun and having and enjoying great people, great company, and of course, you know, some great spirits.
We were going to have
spirits and food. I cannot leave that out.
We're going to eat lunch at one of the most famous grills in Napa. So, I mean, like, it's just going to be a good time. It's always easy to cultivate good networking relationships in low pressure, non-business, sterile environments.
Well, yeah, there's nothing to sell. There's no intention but just getting together.
Everybody's there to be themselves.
Selfishly, yeah. I'm looking to go. I'm around a bunch of badasses in our community that I haven't gotten to connect with, that I want to learn from and about, because you just never know where life, opportunities, investments, somebody investing in you, you investing in something that they've got going on, you know, friendships are going to form and come from. And that if you want to get more involved in some of the events that we're going to be hosting and throwing, that was a long way of basically saying, if you want more information and to be informed of when these events are going to happen, because really, I mean, this sold out right away. And we're going to be doing more and more of these because they're small. Just text the word events to 844-447-1555 and you'll be the first to at least get notified of when these events are going to come up. Did you get that up on the screen, Tom? Was that okay? I like that. See, we got flipping back and forth between the two faces
DJ made for radio. Tom, see, over
this
here.
This is a game changer.
Tom did.
So let's talk about what's been going on this last week. With first off, there was
what didn't happen?
Yeah, I mean, last week was what the hell happened last week? Because it was for a lot of people concerning.
Yeah, no, we're
talk us off the ledge,
sir. I don't know if we've found the edge of that ledge yet. We still maybe got a little bit of walking to do, but it's just people. First of all, people before the Jackson Hole meeting had for some reason priced in, or people, the stock market for some reason priced in that there was going to be potentially some dovishness, which is, not as aggressive on interest rate hikes talk. And that ended up being the opposite. It almost feels like Jerome Powell just ripped up his speech and said, look, tough love, like, but this is how it's going to be.
Was like floating over him as he was talking, going,
he was the hawk.
Gonna slash this economy down.
Not only did he say that, and he said, and then we're going to continue by doubling the rolling out of the balance sheet for the Fed. And that started on the 15th of this month. So we have a bunch of stuff going on. Mix it in that historically, the stock market in September is not super strong. It's one of the weakest.
Why is that? Is it just because everybody's coming out of the summer hype and like,
there's not really a put a thumb on it, like this is the black and white answer. It's just
one of those emotional sentiments in the market.
Historically, it's a weak market. Now, my opinion is, it's a transitioning of seasons. People are going from summertime, school is starting back up. People aren't traveling as much, so travel sectors pull back a little bit. You should see that start to spike back up again during the holidays that we have coming up. But, you know, then again, who knows?
I'm ready.
It's a misnomer, but it is considered one of the weakest months. If you look back at last year, in 2021 in September's market. September's market in 2021 was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
We ended up having a decent October and decent November and a decent November or decent December, excuse me. And then we ran into this year. But September is generally not a great year in the stock market. What is going on top of that this year is we have all the pressures that are coming in on the stock market that have been negative this whole year since the end of January, kind of rearing their ugly head and not getting where people want them to be as fast as they do. But when I take a step back and I look at things, I'm overall happy with where things are going. I really don't listen to the news, but I hear what they say. And it's like, oh, you know, there's a 50, 60, 70, 80, who knows the percentage chance there is of a recession. But I think the funniest part, like I've said, with a recession is anytime that a recession is declared, it's always, we've already been in it and it started X, Y, Z. And so all they're going to do is just tell you we've been in a recession. And I've been saying we've been in a technical recession, more of a slowing of growth, rotation on areas of the market that need to have
last quarter
money,
and a half, 2 quarters
at least. And I still think that's going to go through Q3 into Q4. Here we are. And I think, November is still going to be a turning point potentially. I'm still sticking to my guns on that. We did lower our price target from 43, I think 40 on the S&P down to 4,100. So I'm hopeful. There's a bearish, story to tell, just like there's a bullish story to tell. I will say that when I'm looking at call option volume, There's more neutral opinion on valuations right now going on in some of the stocks that have been pretty beat up. Names like Microsoft, names like Adobe, Ford had a really bad day today. You saw Zillow and Opendoor. Those reports were pretty terrible. Meta is not doing very good. Square got kicked pretty bad. So you're seeing a lot of the names that were kind of the poster childs of the past 24 months really starting to get their valuations re-put back in. I forget that Indian dude's name that I'm not a huge fan of, but the SPAC man, he had to unwind two of his SPACs, Chamath or whatever his name is. So these things are happening that need to happen, but people have to remember that market cycles happen for a reason. And this is just a market cycle coupled with some additional items that are not super fun.
Is there another down leg coming? I mean, to all of the bear negative talkers right now, it's trending in their direction, right?
Yeah. It's going to depend a lot on the...
Have we found the bottom, or is the June bottom I feel got some competition with what's left to cover in Q4?
I feel like the lows that we saw in June, I think specifically on like June 16th, June 17th, right around my birthday, were probably pretty technically from a long view standpoint. Pretty sound. That doesn't mean that we can't go below that, but I would say there's more of a case that we would retest that and bounce off of that than go below that. But I need to get a little bit more data before I feel like I can say, hey, I don't think for sure. There's always a chance. And one of the things that's so crazy about the stock market is even good news can lead to bad outcomes if it's not priced in right, because the market's very forward thinking. Because the market is forward thinking, though, this market has to eventually come back from itself and get to a point where it's so undervalued that it doesn't make sense not to buy in. That's going to be hard with 2-year yields nearing 4% as of today.
Crazy.
Or the 10-year at like 3.6, 3.7.
Why is that concerning?
It just is it's a very steep inversion of the yield curve. It's the steepest it's been all year as of today. I think the 2-year is back. I think the last time the 2-year was that high, it was like 2000, maybe in 9, 2010, maybe 11, somewhere in there. I don't know the last time the yield curve, the 2-year yield was almost 4%. It's really 4%. It's like 3.986 right now. So that's 4% between friends.
We had Dustin from New York shoot in a message earlier this week to number again, questions 844-447-1555. Does it feel more like a global recession is coming right now and looking at it from a more macro perspective of how that ties in. His question was, why is the dollar so strong right now? And does that have any bearing on what's going on in the global economy?
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desks, creators of the best office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. Visit upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. And if you sit all day while you work and you've never tried a desk that can transition between sitting and standing, this is a complete game changer for you. My standing desk is by Uplift Desk. It's what I use every day to record the show, to do my office work. And I gotta say, the transition from sitting all day to standing while I work at various times throughout the day has really made a noticeable difference. When I'm standing, I notice that my energy is up. I'm way more focused and productive. I'm an alert, and I even have a little standing treadmill under my desk now, which allows me to get some extra steps in while plugging away on calls and work. It keeps the blood flowing throughout the day, which we all know can reduce all types of inflammation, different health risks, repetitive strain. And I noticed that my posture has drastically improved since switching to Uplift Desk as well, because I'm not hunched over a computer all day. And while there's a lot of options out there, the reason I chose Uplift Desk is because of the quality. It doesn't wobble, it's completely stable, it's built to last. And you can tell based on the materials that they use, and they are customizable too. Uplift Desk lets you build your custom dream desk by choosing from over 100 desktop choices and hundreds of accessories, so you can build the perfect workspace for yourself using their fun-to-use desk configurator. Now, once you have your desk designed and ordered, they ship the same day. You get free shipping. They do free returns with free return shipping. And the best part is they have an industry-leading 15-year warranty that covers the complete desk, which to me was a big deal, and it shows that they stand behind their product. Now, to get yours, go to upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/mindcast to get 5% off your entire order.
Generally speaking, when we have a very strong dollar, it's not very good for our trading partners because it makes it more expensive for them to buy our goods.
Yeah.
Conversely, it makes it very good for us to buy our
pretty. I mean,
yeah,
it's strong.
Yeah.
As
one of the strongest it's been, I would, again, in the short term, it's still taken some beating over the past couple of years. And the thing that was really crazy, I haven't checked recently because I don't track currency markets as much, but when we had the inversion on the euro to the dollar, where that's, I think that might have been one of the first times in a long while that had been the case. Treading back a little bit though, I don't think that the United States is a little more insulated from world events that are not related to war or stuff like that. As far as like, there's definitely a recession in tow right now over in Europe.
Mm-hmm. And China as well, right?
Yeah, starting kind of too in China. Yeah, they're having a pretty aggressive slowdown in their economy, which is not normal for them. That is not terribly affecting us, but what's going to do is it's going to affect our like supply chain and things like that. And that's going to put outward pressure on our already, you know, limping economy, which is going to take it longer to get through what it's going through. Mm. I'm not in the camp of 100% one way or the other. It's really hard because Biden keeps saying stuff that I'm saying, and I'm like, fuck, I sound like a goddamn liberal. But I agree with them to a point where if we're not going to freak out on a tenth of a basis point down on core CPI, which happened two reports ago, we shouldn't do the opposite on core, especially when we have a headline adjustment as much as we did. So I think people, again, are taking headline news as investment advice, which is never a good. That just means you don't have a plan.
But that's always, at the end of the day, what the general public does, right?
Yeah, that's why we have a x-ray to 844-447-1555 so you can save yourself from yourself.
Save yourself from yourself.
Yeah, no, you never want that.
So funny. Even though I know so many smart people too. I feel like I fall into this camp sometimes where you can't help but read something and immediately react to it, right? And then it's like, okay, hold on. You build up more discipline mm-hmm. over time to be like, okay, I'm not going to buy into all of that, right? But so many smart people I know just buy into.
You have to remember,
headline news, right?
This story was going on all of 2009. And then 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 came and everything was fine. It's just a market cycle. And it happened in the dot-com bust. And it happened in the early 90s before that.
So this is a good opportunity that people should really be looking at and leaning into as,
yes,
this is an amazing opportunity to truly, I guess, instead of making it about you, I'll make it about me. One of the challenges that I have to myself is going every time there is an inflection point in one's financial journey, it's often tied to either a big action outside of your comfort zone in a vein that seems like an opportunity for you that you're going to create, or it is an inflection point in the economy and what mm-hmm. the economy is giving you. And how are you going to challenge yourself this go around to really get your share? Because that's probably my biggest thing as an investor, feeling more confident, more capable, more resourced and capitalized at this stage of my journey now, going, man, if I had this experience, this knowledge back in 2010, knowing what I know now about what opportunities and investments were out there, at least we'll talk about in real estate, right? Same mm-hmm. thing on your side, knowing, hey, this isn't gonna be the last time we're at this stage of the market in terms of volatility.
No.
You know, in my 30 or 40 year timeline of investing. But what do you do in these moments? How do you challenge yourself? How do you step up? How do you learn new things? You know, position yourself in a way that ultimately really tears you up and levels you up in your financial path to unlocking whatever freedom it is that you're looking to unlock. And I feel like this is one of those times, stock market and what feels like is going to be in the real estate market too.
Yeah, I think that when we say that the real estate market is softening, I think that there's much more, you know, the stock market does more than soften, you know, it liquefies, if we're going to say, if anything, but it gets to a point where you have to understand, why don't wealthy people liquidate their portfolios? And why do they just always buy? And that should be a question you ask yourself. And do you hear about, and don't get me wrong, the people, some of the people I want to mention have absorbent amounts of money, right? But, you know, the Warren Buffetts of the world, they liquidate positions to buy new positions, or they close out overweight positions, but they don't sell something because the market overall is going down, especially when kind of everything's been on fire. I mean, there's really not been a great place to put your money this year except select names, especially when you're a broad allocator. But what you can say is, wow, look at all this stuff that's, since everything is down, why can't I go shopping right now when things are on sale? And that's just a really hard concept that a lot of people still have not grasped. But that's truly when the stock market is down, as long as you purchase quality and you're not speculating in 100% of your portfolio, you should be shopping right now and buying things, because everybody that tells you not to, everybody that's the people that sell and go to cash, those are all the same people that in 2 years are going to be telling a story at a bar drinking a fucking Miller Lite about how they didn't invest anything or they lost, or who, give me somebody I lost 100%. Whenever I hear somebody say, I lost 100% of my portfolio in 2008, I'm like, no, it's not possible. Like, you're one of those people. Probably has a Miller Lite.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part
of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
Shout out to Miller Lite. I'm not hating on you.
I was going to say, there might be some Miller Lite.
But what I'm saying is there's no reason to be so abusive to your money where we have an opportunity to buy things, real estate, commercial, single family, deals that people ran wrong and ran, you know, like I was saying, buy these stocks and stuff and investments when they're down. Set up these policies and index policies when the indexes are down, because all that's going to happen in the long term is they're going to go up.
Well, that was one of the questions that came in from Cynthia. Shout out to Cynthia on right now. What are you two doing? This was a question directed at both of us with your money and your investments.
I'm putting like $20,000 to $30,000 per month into the stock market. And I'm putting money into my life insurance policy, and I'm waiting for the real estate market to go down. And I'm just looking at properties. I have a bunch of properties that I've looked at that have been on the market for like 126, 144 days, some Airbnb opportunities in like Tennessee, some stuff like that.
There you go.
And I'm just looking at stuff, keeping an eye on deals.
I'm buying regardless.
Yeah. I literally put I think today I put about $4,500 into the market today.
Yeah.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Well, I think you got to just, again, it comes back to your plan. The strategy shift.
I put $75,000 into the market year to date.
Okay.
Into my brokerage account. That's what I've put personally on top of my regular contributions. Those are just additional. So when I tell people, like, you know, I know some people call on and they're like, oh, what do you have to do to get to these levels, 10, 5, 6, 8, 9, $13,000 a month? I'm doing it. I'm literally putting that much money into investments, even though my account's down like 32% year to date.
And it's just because that's what your plan says.
Correct. Right now, I have about a 17% cash position. And anytime the market goes down, I just go in and I buy. So, and I'm doing that for my clients as well. The only people that I have in very safe positions are my tactical investors, my older clients. Shout out to you all that are listening. I have their money more so like in a cash equivalent. And that's because their time horizon is not like mine. They should not be down 32% year to date. That's too much risk. I should, because I need to take advantage of my time horizon and make those rates of return. And I'm not going to treat my money or my investment portfolio like a freaking stock machine. I'm not going to say I'm going to keep playing while I win. And the second that I lose, I'm going to pull my money out and go to the next stock machine. That's just not how it works. You have to buy quality, you have to hold quality, and you can speculate with a portion of your portfolio, but it's not appropriate to do with your whole portfolio. It's just not.
I love it.
So that's what we're doing, or at least I'm doing. I know what Matt's doing with his portfolio because he gives me his money to do it.
We're buying stocks. I mean, I just...
He's doing the exact same thing with me with a large lemon wedge twist of real estate on top.
Of real estate, exactly. But I mean, yeah, that's the same thing, right? I'm following the prudent plan and advice of Mr. Breedwell on whatever my slice of my overall investment pie is towards real estate. Towards stocks. We increased contribution, dollar cost averaging. I think you said it perfectly in the sense of like that sticker shock of being down to most people. When we talk about the timeline that we're talking about getting into the market and being involved in the market, That 38% down, the delta on that over the timeline that we'll be investing and keeping that money in the market is drastically undervalued. Right now, it feels bad, down, right? Yeah. But in terms of when we're talking about this position in 30 years and where we believe the market is going, right? That's ultimately the plan I'm following on that side, just continuing to invest through all of this, through the guidance of Mr. Breedwell and his amazing team. And then, you know, real estate right now, I'm excited actually I'm closing out some of my positions in some real estate assets that are really going to free me up some nice cash. Cause I do think that, and you know, I'm somebody that likes to ask a lot of questions around a lot of smart people and not do a lot of talking and ultimately see what moves on the chessboard they're leaning into and where they see the overall landscape of the market from a real estate perspective. You know, just like you always talk about, there's always a stock, a company, a sector that is got a bull market going on.
Energy right now.
There is the same thing in real estate and, you know, in the asset class world of commercial, whether it's, you know, industrial, it is, you know, mobile home parks,
money doesn't disappear.
Buildings, it's, yeah,
fancy that, right?
Build to rent communities. The list goes on and on, right? There's so many hotels, so many different asset classes. It's something that I know through syndications, partnerships with the right operators, deal finders, managers, sponsors, I can continue to do that and be a part of those. So that is, you know, we just have a partner and a consulting client that I work with for some time. You know, if you're on our deals list, my credit investors, high net worth investors, people that want to get a part of syndications, we've had people in Artista, the laundromats, another apartment building in Houston. We've got another one coming up in Houston. Mm-hmm. If you want to know more about that information, we're going to be doing a webinar here within the next week. We're going to be raising around $5.5 million for that.
Boom.
It is one of the best neighborhoods in Houston, and it is 206 units in a city called Bel Air, which is the highest price zip code and nicest areas of the Houston submarket. And so, you know, I'm looking at those types of opportunities to bring value to high yielding, cash flowing, safe asset classes like apartments have been for quite some time. And what we're seeing here is, you know, obviously with the rate hikes, we know they've already said 75 bips, right? We're going to see another 50 after that.
We should see at least 50 after that.
Potentially.
Yes.
I mean, we might see another 75 after that.
We could. We'll know on the CPI print next month, which I think is going to go down on headline and core.
If it doesn't go down, that is not good.
No, you're going to be seeing my ass like Leo on that board, like holding on to the frozen woman, which is my portfolio. So, yeah, no, I'm hoping that we have a moderation down. Now, if we do have a CPI print hot again, that is going
Let's just say double down. Yeah. Double down and ride this baby.
My November theory may take a re-looking at the thesis, but I've stuck to my guns on that, and I called that in February or March. So I'm not over here trying to bail on it right before it's about to take off. I feel like Elon right before SpaceX ripped off the ground, right? But I a lot of things have to hit. I mean, this is like putting on the roulette table. This is like betting on green. It's possible, highly unlikely, but it still can happen. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see what goes down. I think that what we're really leaning on is we need to get through this rate hike, and the people need to digest that it was a 75 basis point. And look, nothing was scary. And then on the CPI print, please, Papa Powell, I hope that it's low. It starts moderating down, and then we can get the Fed to come out and say, hey, we're going to continue on the track of raising interest rates, but we're going to raise interest rates by maybe 0.5%.
There's light at the end of the tunnel. We've got this under control. We're not saying we're pivoting, but we are kind of saying pivoting could happen in the next few quarters.
This is what I do know. The second that there's whispers of that and it becomes like
it already started getting baked into the market.
Oh my gosh, right away. The stock market will really rebound, especially in technology.
But here's the thing. That could create inflation all over again.
No, it won't though, because the stock market, again, is forward thinking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything right now. It just means people are buying now to eventually they will sell later. That's why we have insider trading reports that come out every single day. I do not believe that would be like the only thing that actually, this sounds crazy, but this is a fact. The only thing that, and we talked about last week, that actually affects our inflation numbers when the price goes up is real estate. That literally does affect our inflation. Because for some reason, the price of real estate is done in the CPI numbers. Mm-hmm. Stock prices going up indicates and should indicate that in the future, interest rates will go down, which is good for overall inflation, or should indicate that overall inflation is becoming under control, which I don't think that you could make a case that that would be a negative thing. And if the stock market flips on its head, what you can expect the Fed to do, you can expect them to likely flip on their head and start cutting interest rates in order to save us from like a depression.
Yeah.
So yeah, crazy times, but those are the facts.
Well, that's why I think too, in these uncertain inflationary environments, that's why I'm looking at one, really exploring the syndication side to keep passive income coming in through real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being in hard assets in real estate, you don't have to do a whole lot. And you reap a lot of reward if you're in the right asset, the right market with the right operator. So I'm really excited about the Houston deal that we're going to be offering out. If you want more information on that, text the word deals to 844-447-1555. You'll get the investment summary and kind of the invite to the webinar if you want to check that out. And just getting on that deals list gets you involved in other passive income opportunities. Getting my cash into more of those with really sound, really quality operators. Or, hence, exciting, you know, to consistently keep investing in my business, in my brand.
Yep.
Because ultimately, in times of recession, sitting on a good chunk of cash to go out and capture opportunistic buys, because there will be opportunistic buys in real estate asset classes.
Yeah, a ton of them.
Guaranteed. So again, if you're not the expert, you don't have to be the expert. Just find the good people, the good syndicators, the honest, ethical, proven track record,
which we talked for about their in last week's podcast.
Critical, right? And whether it's me, our deals list, it's other syndicators. There are some great ones out there. I've met a ton of them at different events, networking groups, and I've also met a ton of horrible ones that you should run in the opposite direction from.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a great way to continue to generate and reap the rewards of, you know, real estate. I'm continuing to invest with you.
Yep.
And then I'm investing in myself. I'm investing in my business. I'm investing in my network. I'm investing in my team. These are the times that most people get soft. They get unstable. They get scared. They really kind of pull back. The people that I think are the ones who reap the most reward and the most benefits from all of this are the people who truly like have that conversation in the mirror. You said it earlier, right? Having nuts of steel, right? Or for all of our badass females out there, leaning into those moments and saying like, this is where I'm going to fucking level up. I'm going to tear up in a way. And I look at the journey that I've kind of been on with, I mean, I was the first, you know, I would say millionaire in my family to then eventually being the first entrepreneur in my family to being
a second
to be a realtor,
crazy.
To be a wholesaler and flipper, to be a, you know, buying commercial real estate, to buying hotels, to investing in some exciting new brands and things that I'm going to be sharing with you guys, syndicating properties. You have to look at every financial opportunity that comes your way as a once in a lifetime event. And you got to capture it.
Yep.
And you got to challenge yourself to do those things. And
they'll be hard.
This next turnaround or this next cycle for me in what I know is going to be, I mean, you can't get through a pandemic and print as much money as we did and not believe that there's not opportunity for you to completely get a fair share and slice of a financial pie that got a whole lot bigger.
Agreed. Because it's all back down to earth.
So my thing is going business, real estate, you know, myself and with you.
I'm nibbling on the ankles.
That is my holistic investment strategy and focus. But right now, I think is also the time, discipline, plan, yeah. but also patience too. Don't get too antsy. Don't feel like you have to do something to force money into the market. Crockpot. That's why you even said it too, right? I was like, hey, I want to give you 50 grand. Let's do that in chunks over time, right? So like, just be patient and know that the market's going to create some great opportunities for you. But you also got to like, go out and get that shit. Go earn it. Yep. You know, go challenge yourself to say, I took a new step up in my financial acumen, my new financial skills. I expanded my network. I leaned in and I squeezed out a lot of juice out of this, you know, this from the squeeze on this last market cycle and opportunity that I feel like is going to be life-changing for so many people.
And it will be hard. And it is supposed to be hard because if it was easy, everybody would do it. I bet you've heard that one before.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy and it's not going to be fun, but that's, you have to do the hard stuff in order to get to the good stuff. You can't just expect to flip a light switch on and, be there and be done. You have to go through a little bit of adversity. You're going to have to lose, and that's going to pave your way to be a successful entrepreneur in whatever avenue that you're in long term.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. For those of you that are keeping a close eye on what the real estate market is doing, as am I, we got 30-year mortgage rates over 6%.
Double.
First time since 2008.
Sorry, I was drinking my water.
That's
insane.
People are getting
at a $2,500 a month mortgage on a 20% down last year. You got about a $5,400 a month mortgage
yep.
on a 20% down payment right now, which is unreal to me. I was looking at the just for fun. I get the little Zillow report that's into my email, and it does the estimate of what my mortgage payment would be on a current interest rate from a moderately qualified buyer at 20% down. And it was like $9,700 a month.
You're happy you bought when you did.
Oh boy. I'm not paying that much. I'm not paying.
Well, and that's where I think right now going back much. To, I mean, if you're a home buyer, you know, and it's a forever home or it's going to be a rental property that you keep for the next 30 years, you know, again, this is part of the plan. Right? You might be buying a little bit higher, but if it's a long-term vision and focus and puzzle piece, you do it. But I think right now, if you're an investor, critical to think about underwriting properly, right? Really baking in some buffers
yeah.
for potentially some choppy short-term, you know, years behind the purchase. But if the numbers pencil, right, you keep going after what opportunities are going to be presented, because there's going to be some that will trickle out along the way. We got inventory increased 0.9% last week.
Yep.
Housing starts came out this last week and were a beat.
Highest
like ever. Yeah, biggest ever. Jump. Housing starts increased to 1.575 million in August. And that is a record number of housing units under construction.
Huge.
And I'll give you a quick little narrative from our man, our weekly wrangle up from Mr.
Lawrence, baby.
National Association of Realtors chief economist. He released this yesterday, or actually today. A surprising bounce back in new home construction is welcome. In August, single family housing starts rose 3.4%, thereby stopping five straight months of decline. The inventory of unsold homes and canceled contracts accumulated due to higher mortgage rates. However, the last month's increase is implying that builders still see profit opportunities even as they concede on prices. Material prices, including that of lumber, have been moderating and fully completed homes are selling fast. Unfinished homes are still under construction are the ones sitting on the market for long periods. Multifamily housing starts reached its best month performance in 35 years. Mm. More online units are coming out of apartments right now. It is insane with how much they're trying to pump out. Apartment demand has been strong with rents rising at a historically high pace. Those consumers that are getting pumped out of or pushed out of, you know, the buying
they're going
opportunities, they're going and renting,
mm-hmm.
right? Mortgages are higher and most of them are forced to rent or renew their leases. Job creation is also boosting the rental demand. There was a housing shortage of around 5 million homes before the onset of the pandemic. That shortage is not going away anytime soon. So, you know, that's one take, right? It is, there's low inventory still. It's right time to capitalize on, even with these higher inflationary costs on labor, on material, on, you know, energy, all of that kind of stuff. They're going still historically, like, we got to get our profits in. There's a lack and a massive demand for putting units online, whether it's purchase and or rental.
That's what I keep thinking people keep discounting is the consumer on my end and your end. And I mean,
we're just short so many that I think there's so many, because building permits are down. They were low. And my thought around that, you know, because I saw a funny little
meme.
Yeah, it was basically that we're in a deep housing recession. One economist started saying, we don't know it yet, but we're in a deep housing recession. And my answer to that was, one, no, we're not in a deep housing recession. People, the consumer, have just gotten so spoiled reading all the headline news of how hot, how many bidding wars, hundreds of thousands of over, you know, dollar bids. People just got very spoiled with what was created from the reopening of the pandemic.
Yes. And Joe Biden took all the job credit. He also forgot. That's like in that same sense. It's like, oh yeah, look at all these jobs I created. Nothing was created. Just people came back.
Yeah.
Housing prices aren't crashing. They're just going back
to normal. It's not a deep housing recession. It's a slowdown for sure. Yes. It's like this weird stalemate in the market where sellers still think it's still hot and way higher than they think. And they don't have a true sense of pain or urgency yet that is forcing them to put their house up on the market.
It's very much like when a mother bird comes back to the nest with one worm with three mouths to feed.
It's
all three mouths still want the worm, even though there's only one worm to eat.
And I think with the...
I like that one, Anthony.
I don't even know how to take that. Like,
there's low inventory, but there's still people that want it.
Okay, there we go. I was like, where's he going with this? Like,
sorry, I was a little... Maybe those are a little over your head there.
The demand is still there, but it's been slashed a lot. So they're getting more intelligent about what they're looking at and realizing they have a little bit more power here. So I think that some of these home builders see a massive opportunity, hence they had to get product online.
Yep.
They're going to push any and all channels for that to happen. Building permits being down, that one, I think it's a seasonal thing. The other side of it is, I think some of them are starting to want to make sure that they can also control the inventory levels and not oversaturate the marketplace.
That would be bad for everybody.
Well, because here's the thing that people are like, you know, that's all speculation. But when you look at a lot of the variables that we're talking about here, you know, the inverse of a lot of these things that are keeping the market stable and what I think will push us through to maybe being slower, but a more stable marketplace, more normalized marketplace. Mm-hmm. If the inverse happens, we could be in a deep housing recession. Like it could get bad, right? Like,
see, Matt has a could get bad scenario too.
It 100% could get bad. And that's where, if you are in the camp that the American economy is a house of cards right now, and it could unravel next year, that could be a catalyst for a deep recession.
Yeah.
Or depression, right?
Yep.
If you're not in that camp, and your thesis is, you know, the alternative to that, and that we're going to, you know, find a bottom, we're going to kind of reset the stage and table and kind of figure out and make it through this with the Fed's help, with policy and politics, with, you know, how some of these things play out in the U.S. in terms of different sectors, and then look at it, the global landscape and how this perfect storm, if it all kind of comes together, we could be back and ripping and tearing, right? So which theory do you stick to? What path do you build your plan around? And, you know, continue to look at the opportunities. I think right now, in times of uncertainty, you got to keep taking action on your plan, but you got to stay nimble.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what these headlines are at least telling me.
Proactive.
Stay nimble.
Proactive nimbleness.
I have a little bit of fear on what's going around all this, but it's a healthy fear that's keeping me engaged with retooling my plan and strategy and being in the right conversations. And that's all you can do in times like right now.
That's literally
because this wasn't the conversation when everybody was crushing in 2021. Like, I don't care who the fuck you were. If you were in the game, you were making money for the most part.
There is no alternative. That's that woman, Tina, we talked about.
Tina.
There is no alternative.
Builder confidence declined in September. So that's where I think, again, we're not in a recession, but I think there's some of that healthy fear in what builders are doing right now. And they want to get their, they want to get clean their books up a little bit. They want to clean their balance sheet up. They want to capture what they think is there right now, but could potentially, if the inverse happens, not be there in 12 months, in 24 months.
So yeah, I agree.
I think that's, you know, something to keep paying attention to, right? With that being said, we've got some great stuff that we want to keep you guys in the loop on. If you want to get more information on deals, what we're listening to, what we're reading, what we're doing, you can text the word notes to 844-447-1555. That'll be kind of our Millionaire Mindcast newsletter. You know, a lot of the good stuff that's happening in our community, we want to keep you guys, again, more engaged, more involved, and let's all figure out how to keep sharpening, you know, the financial axe in the times that we know are going to be coming.
Yeah. All we got to do is stay, like I said, stick to your plan. Don't just get discouraged. Continuously put money into your accounts, your investments, your real estate, and ignore and blind out the naysayers and haters, because you'll look back in 2020 hindsight and really just know that, I'm very glad that I did this. And you won't be the person that says, man, I wish you would have invested in 2009. I wish you would have got the dip in 2018. I wish you would have bought the dip in the coronavirus pandemic. You will be the person that said, I did buy that and look at it. And now you can maybe help other people do it too, like we're doing.
So don't forget to head over to millionairemindcast.com. We got all the episodes, all the show notes. Head over to YouTube. We got, you guys want to check out Tone's legit podcasting skills.
It's legit.
Or production skills. We got the podcasting skills. This is going to be crazy. I always think it's funny, right? Some people are like, man, the show's been, you know, so well done and you're stepping the game up and this and that. And I mean, mind you, we've got some really great sponsors now that are helping, you know, us raise the game. Obviously, you and your amazing company has brought a whole new dynamic of value of what can be added to the listener.
We got
Tone behind the screen making us look good.
Tatted, looking good.
So head over to YouTube. We would love you guys drop comments, hit the like button, comment, share, head over to iTunes. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel or the podcast yet, it'd mean the world to us. Again, check out all of the links, all the resources, millionairemindcast.com, X-ray, deals, notes, events, any of those words to 844-447-1555. It's just another way that we can all connect with you guys. Don't forget to tune in next week and keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers.
Cheers, y'all.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode of Wealth Building Wednesday. Be sure to tune in next week for more news and updates. If you got some value from today's show, all we ask is that you either leave a review on whatever podcasting platform you enjoy listening to this content on, or share this with somebody that you know can gain some insight, some value from it. One of the things that you guys know about Ryan and I is, you know, we definitely won't say we have all the answers, and we definitely won't say we know it all. We just want to bring conversation to the areas, the topics that we believe are really important to bring attention and awareness to help you sharpen your axe, put more tools on your tool belt, weaponize you to make the best decisions that align not only with your financial goals, right, but your lifestyle goals. So if you guys want to take advantage of Ryan's free financial X-ray on your investment portfolio, all you have to do is text the word X-ray to 844-447-1555. Most people have no idea what they're being charged from a fee perspective, or really in most cases, overcharged, and whether or not their current investment plan is actually aligned with what they're trying to accomplish and by when. And this is something Ryan does for all of our listeners for free. So be sure to take them up on that X-ray, one word, 844-447-1555. Also, if you are someone who is serious about building your wealth and you're already kind of established, but you want to surround yourself with other like-minded, high net worth individuals, be sure to text Wealth Camp, one word, to 844-447-1555 to learn more about our intimate five-star experiences with other like-minded business owners and investors, to cross-pollinate, to hear what they're doing, and to have a whole hell of a lot of fun while we're doing it. And last, if you want to know more about consulting or getting mentorship directly from me or from Ryan, you can learn more by texting the word mentor to 844-447-1555. With that being said, that's all for this week. Until next, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.